Chicago's very own gospel quartet singing This World Is Not My Home.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. All right, that's the song there, folks. It's called This World Is Not My Home, and that is the Hee-Haw rendition from 1978. Welcome to today's Brighteon Broadcast News. This is Mike Adams. And, you know, what a wonderful message right now as our world is going completely insane and everything's twisted and upside down. And we've got, you know, drag queen story time and twerking drag queens teaching children in schools and librarian drag queens. And we've got HHS drag queen admiral transgenders lecturing us on climate change and why it's racist and how carbon dioxide only affects black people somehow. This world is not my home. And I know it's not yours either. It's completely twisted up. We are living through a giant satanic death cult takeover of planet Earth. That is where we are in human history right now, a satanic takeover of planet Earth, but one that will ultimately fail. But it's going to be actual living hell to go through. Now, we've got an interesting interview today with someone who's an expert in organizing survival communities. It's Stefan Verstappen. So that's coming up later. We got a lot to cover in the meantime. And we're going to start out with an article about catastrophic collapse. I'm going to do something unusual and actually read you quite a bit from this article. This is published on kingworldnews.com, and it's Egon von Greyer's authoring this. Catastrophic Western collapse looms, but here is the big fear. He writes in this article that the risk of a collapse of the global geopolitical and economic system is crystal clear. However, the outcome of that is extremely murky. He says that wars will sadly not go away, but they will escalate because there is zero desire for peace from the U.S. neocons or the weak Europeans, and that's true. The U.S. just wants war, and the European leaders can't find their own ass with both hands. I mean, they talk about a suicide cult. Western Europe is committing suicide in a way that is just absolutely epic to behold. Egon von Greyer writes, inflation and interest rates will increase rapidly, driven by deficits and exponential growth of debt, and wars and inflation will lead to a major shift into gold by central banks and the BRICS nations, as well as wealth preservation purposes. Now, we've already seen, of course, a lot of central banks around the world that are buying up loads of gold. We're talking about thousands of tons of gold. That's a lot of money worth of gold. China, in particular, has been buying that up for many years, but other central banks are purchasing a lot of gold as well. But I want to read for you some of the bullet points that von Greyer writes here, because I think they're right on the money. Point number one, the U.S. is not led by a visible leader, but by an invisible and unaccountable group of neocons who only want war. And in Europe, there's not a statesman to be found. Instead, weak European leaders follow the headless U.S. And someone sent me today a link of a video from Margaret Thatcher, the former prime minister of the UK, of course. And my goodness, Thatcher spoke with such clarity and such passion about human freedom and why government has to be limited. And it's like, wow, I didn't realize in the 1980s what a gem Margaret Thatcher was. You know, it's like we'd give anything to have Margaret Thatcher back in charge of the UK right now, wouldn't we? And frankly, we'd give anything to have Ronald Reagan back in charge in the USA at this point, even if you don't agree with everything he did. And same thing with Thatcher, but at least they loved their countries and they were trying to do good things for their countrymen and women, even if every single decision of theirs wasn't perfect. But man, I miss Margaret Thatcher, believe it or not. That's probably the nicest thing I've said about a British citizen here for a while. Look, I love the British people. Don't get me wrong. I love the British people. I can't stand the British government. But then again, the British people can't stand the British government either. So we're in good company there. All right. Next bullet point. The U.S. neocons want to crush Russia by any means, even if it leads to nuclear war. Thus, the U.S. has implemented sanctions against Russia and forced Europe to take their full part by sending weapons, money, and military expertise to Ukraine. But the cost of these measures is destroying the European economy and also bankrupting the United States. Now, if the war with Russia escalates, then Russia will have many friends on their side, China, North Korea, and Iran. The U.S. and NATO do not have the capacity to win a war on the ground. So it's very likely that any actual war involving the West will go nuclear. All right, next bullet point. The U.S. wants to crush the Muslim Arab world, and Iran is the principal enemy, but the U.S. is supporting Israel against Hamas and the Houthis in Yemen. The Muslim world has no capacity for a major war against the West, but they have a much more effective method of paralyzing the West, which is terrorism on a major scale. As von Greyers warns here, he says, most Western countries have well-armed Muslim cells. You know, he's talking about terror cells that have already made their way into various Western countries. Quote, most probably also with dirty nuclear weapons. You know, so dirty bombs, nuclear material. So surprise attacks on strategic buildings or major shopping centers in the U.S., the U.K., and the rest of Europe are probable. And that would paralyze the countries involved. He says, next item, a cyber war is also very likely. Whether Russian and Chinese missiles can take out major communication satellite systems, as recently published, remains to be seen. But they have well-developed skills for cyber attacks. The U.S. has no desire for peace. The reaction to the recent Tucker Carlson interview with Putin is typical for the propaganda-led hatred for Putin by the Western media. Most people in the West have been told by the mainstream media to hate Putin and blame him for all the evil acts, and thus they didn't listen to the interview. It goes on. How can anyone in the West understand Russia or Putin when they're not prepared to listen to him calmly presenting the Russian side for 2 hours? And anyway, let me see. He suggests that Tucker Carlson should be given a 2-hour interview with Joe Biden. Just like with Putin, there should be no advisors present, no crib sheets, and no teleprompters. That would be a clown show, but very entertaining. We could probably pay off the national debt with just the live streaming fees to tune in and watch that, huh? Total train wreck clown show of the Biden administration. Von Greyers writes, let the world thereafter compare the quality of the arguments of the two leaders, their clarity, and if they are both compos mentis. After all, these are the minimum requirements for a leader of a major power. Can you imagine? You know, you ask each leader, you ask Putin and Joe Biden the same question, like, how are you going to defend the strategic interests of your country? You know, and Vladimir Putin would be, well, we are going to export energy to the whole world. We are going to recruit allies around the world and enhance their economies with our energy exports. We're going to advance technology. We're going to invest in domestic infrastructure. We're going to make Russia great again, you know, something like that. And Joe Biden will be like, rimble, rimble, brimble, jimble, rimble, rimble, changing diapers, popcorn, pop, Pop-Tarts. That's what that interview would go like right there. And it would be a beautiful thing to see so that the whole world finally, well, they already realized Joe Biden's not even home. So who's running America? It's obviously not Joe Biden. All right, so von Greyers goes on and he says, let's look at the global economic picture. He says, the risk of your wealth declining by 70 to 90% in the next 5 to 7 years is today probably greater than any time in history. And that the U.S. market is driven by a handful of tech stocks, which are massively overvalued. And I know that NVIDIA's earnings are coming out today. And NVIDIA is one of these AI bubble tech stocks that is wildly priced right now. And, you know, a lot of people are speculating on that this is the next big bubble is AI. Now, they might be right, by the way. I mean, I'm not a stock advisor and I don't play the stock market. I don't own any stocks that I know of there might be something in some, I don't know, retirement portfolio run by my company that I have no knowledge of. But I don't personally have anything invested in any stocks in the stock market because I can't stand the scam. It's a giant Ponzi scheme. But I will say this, the AI, the value added to society of AI is a very legit thing. I mean, you know, I'm working on an AI project, as you know, and we're using NVIDIA chips, and I've spent, ungodly amounts of money on NVIDIA, like over six figures just on NVIDIA hardware in the last few months. And it's hard to get because everybody wants more NVIDIA hardware. Now, NVIDIA is a Taiwan company, by the way, and it was founded by a Taiwanese-American electrical engineer, very, very smart guy. And NVIDIA is probably going to do very, very well. So I don't know if NVIDIA is a great investment at this current price. But the point is that when people own stocks, and you've heard this with the Great Taking interview that I did with Mr. Webb, even when you buy stocks, you don't actually own them in your name. They're owned by the holding company, the brokerage that you bought them through. So if everything starts to collapse, you don't end up with the stocks anyway. It ends up getting confiscated by, you know, the brokerage firm or the whatever, the mutual fund, or, you know, your name's not on it. So how do you know you're ever going to be able to sell it if a collapse happens? I mean, that's why so many people are moving into gold, for example. That's what Von Greyers is talking about. Gold, especially under your control or vaulted or in your hands, gold is not going to vanish. And if you've got it under your control, then you own it, you know? A lot of these stocks are just going to go nowhere or even collapse by 70 to 90% because we are living through this incredible Ponzi scheme that's been driven by debt and artificially low interest rates. And this is not sustainable. This system will come to an end. And don't you find it fascinating that as the monetary system of the West is coming to an end, the culture is also collapsing as well? With all the transgenderism and the child mutilations and the complete abandonment of morality and the rise of, you know, Satanism and just pure evil, the lack of morals or ethics or values, the public education system being taken over by perverts, pedophiles, and groomers. This is all an indication of the end of this civilization that we know. And as it ends, bad things are going to happen. I mean, I call it the uncivil war. In fact, I have a special report here for you about the fact that the uncivil war has already begun, and it's not going to be North versus South, of course, you know, not like 1861 or whatever year that started. It's going to be urban versus rural America. I've got a special report coming up on that. We'll get to that in a minute, but I want to bring you this other interesting news out of Utah. Utah has a new sovereignty act. Let me bring that up here. This is from Mish Talk. Utah's new Sovereignty Act will overrule the federal government. So it's a new bill in Utah that allows the state to overrule or ignore federal rules that are deemed to be unconstitutional. A couple of bullet points from that. Now, by the way, this is the soft secession happening right here. It's called the Utah Constitutional Sovereignty Act. And it was... Oh, wait a minute. Has it been signed into law? It says it's signed into law by Governor Spencer Cox on January 31st. Is that right? Whoa. It's already law. That's news to me too. Okay, point number one. It establishes a framework for the legislature to prohibit the enforcement of a federal directive within the state by government officers if the legislature determines that the federal directive violates the principles of state sovereignty. Wow. So that means, you know, if the federal government orders the state to do something that's unconstitutional or illegal or, you know, violates the constitution of the state, then the state legislature can just say, we reject that. It, quote, describes the ways in which a federal directive violates the principles of state sovereignty. And it requires the legislature to consult with the attorney general regarding the potential impact of a concurrent resolution on litigation and to provide notice to representatives of tribal governments. So it's just laying out the mechanism here for why this is important. Now, Governor Cox from the story says, quote, balancing power between state and federal sovereignty is an essential part of our constitutional system. By the way, this is like a 10th Amendment bill on steroids, right? Pro 10th Amendment. This legislation gives us another way to push back on federal overreach and maintain that balance. So you see, when the federal government says that, oh, you have to allow pedophiles and trannies to groom and mutilate children in your public schools, which, of course, you know, that's what all the Democrats want, is just nationwide child mutilations, just pure evil, satanic demons in the schools, you know, terrorizing your children. That's what they want. They demand it every single day. You talk and say, we reject that. We reject that. No trannies teaching the kids in the schools. No demons, no Satanists, because we're going to assert our state sovereignty. Now, the sponsor of this act, the Sovereignty Act, is Utah Senator Scott Sandel. And he said, quote, I think any state should be looking at adopting this. Don't you want a real organized way in your state to vet these things and look and say where the federal government is overreaching? No matter which party or ideology you espouse, this could be helpful in any state, in my opinion. He says, our attorneys have indicated to me that the process that's in place is constitutional. It doesn't have a constitutional issue simply because it's a process. And so, you know, this is going to get challenged, obviously, and probably end up in the Supreme Court under the supremacy clause of the Constitution. But you're going to see this spread. You're going to see more and more states. Again, this is soft secession, okay? And this is kind of like what Texas did a few weeks back when Texas said to the Supreme Court, we're not going to abide by your unconstitutional decision that requires us to allow Texas to be invaded by a continuing army of illegal, you know, occupants. And thus, we're going to do our own thing because we are the state of Texas. Well, that's going to spread, okay? So if you're wondering how the uncivil war actually takes place, it starts like this. You know, it starts with truckers saying we're not going to deliver loads to New York City because New York City has been weaponized, its judicial system weaponized against the people of America, weaponized against, obviously, the Trump family as well. And New York City is no longer abiding by the principles of a free country. New York City, or New York State, actually the whole state, is being run as a tyrannical fascist dictatorship under Hochul, who also, and the state Supreme Court also has already affirmed that the state can come kidnap you out of your home at any time and throw you into a quarantine death camp if they claim that you might have been exposed to something that they just completely made up, by the way. So that's already in play in New York, the whole state. So yes, the uncivil war has begun. You're going to see more and more states asserting their sovereignty. You're going to see a bigger and bigger split across America. And ultimately, it's going to come down to a split between urban and rural America. And guess where all the things come from that people need in order to live? You know, like food, water, energy, electricity. You notice they don't generate electricity in the cities, right? They don't do that anymore. Maybe they used to a long time ago. They generate electricity outside the cities, and that electricity is transmitted into the cities over high voltage power lines that are just right out there in the open on towers that are, you know, remarkably easy in a war. It's remarkably easy for anybody to take them out, whether we're talking about like international terrorists who want to sabotage America, or in a civil war scenario, if there are two warring factions and one side wants to take out power lines, you know, it's not going to be difficult because our national infrastructure, power infrastructure, water infrastructure, and transportation infrastructure, and so on, it was constructed and designed with the assumption that the American people didn't want to destroy their own country. So it's not actually guarded. It's not really defended at all. But now we live in a country where the Democrats hate America. They want to destroy America. And so, you know, Democrats, Democrat terrorists, or I don't know, Antifa terrorists, or whoever, or maybe, you know, international terrorists, they can come in and they can take out power grid substations. They can take out high voltage power lines. They can poison water supplies that feed major cities like Phoenix. You know, it's not difficult for some terrorists to poison the Phoenix water supply is freaking open canals that feed the city. I've seen them. I mean, same thing with L.A. How do you think L.A. gets its water? You know, they pump it from a giant canal over a mountain and then it comes back into the city. If any terror-minded person or group or entity wanted to poison the L.A. water supply with, you know, whatever, that sadly, that's not a difficult thing for them to carry out. And that's why as this uncivil war begins to ratchet up, and Democrats fired the first shot here, you know, New York saying that we're going to weaponize the entire court system against Trump to try to take him down. And similar things happening in Georgia as well. And now truckers are responding. As this ratchets up, it's going to get, I predict, more and more severe to the point where if this doesn't get settled down, you know, if we don't find peace in America, and by the way, electing Trump is not going to end up with peace on the left. The left would go insane, and like a complete eruption of widespread left-wing terrorism across America if that happens. Have no illusions. But if we don't get to peace, the war that's going to unfold in America is going to be uncivil. It's going to be horrific. It's going to be entire regions of people, maybe certain cities, who have no water, no food, no electricity, or some combination of that. Maybe they have food on Monday and then water on Tuesday and electricity on Wednesday, but never all three on the same day. Probably they'll have no bandwidth either. And, you know, highways are going to be attempted to be controlled by the various sides because of transportation. You know, riverways, barges, you're going to see the federal government try to assert control over transportation systems. And then you're going to see states like Texas and Utah and others pushing back against that. You're going to see the Texas State Guard deployed probably to protect Texas infrastructure against a rogue federal government that has declared war on the American people. That kind of thing is very likely going to happen. And it's incredibly likely that it will happen within the next year, possibly before the election, but also potentially even after the election. Like if the Democrats win the election, they're going to go all out declaring war against conservative America. And if the Democrats lose the presidential election and then someone like Trump gets installed, well, then the left-wing Democrats are going to go insane and erupt as violent terrorists all over the country. Either way, folks, we end up in a war zone in this country. So let's go to that special report here called The Uncivil War Has Begun, and it will be urban versus rural America. It's a little less than 20 minutes, a little bit of background noise in it. I apologize. Listen to that report, and I'll be back on the other side. Well, the trucker boycott of New York City is only the beginning of what you're about to see unfold across America. As part of the ratcheting up of the Civil War, now this new Civil War, I've dubbed it the Uncivil War. It's not going to be, of course, like the first Civil War, North versus South, or even just people shooting each other in large open fields, things like that. This is really going to be urban versus rural America. Now, urban America, the cities are mostly run by Democrats. They all hate America. They despise the rule of law. They weaponize government against conservatives and against Trump supporters. Without exception, every Democrat in power in America wants to see the border overrun. Without exception, they are all treasonous actors. They vote that way. You can just look at their voting record in Congress. They're constantly, you know, voting for either more benefits for illegals or to keep the border wide open or no funding for the border, things like that. They are already experiencing the collapse of their own blue cities due to their policies, and they are about to FAFO, which is F around and find out. In fact, the trucker embargo of New York City is just the opening salvo of FAFO. That if you F around with America and you F around with the rule of law and you weaponize the government and you weaponize the judicial system against the American people, you're going to find out that the people that you're pissing off are the people upon whom you depend for the things that keep you alive. I'm talking to the the blue city leaders here. Every blue city will become a death trap if it loses food and water and energy or electricity and bandwidth and all these things that are necessary for cities to operate. And I just mentioned bandwidth there. You might think, well, that's not a big deal. You know, why is bandwidth so important? Well, it's because every fiber optic line that goes to every city in America runs through a rural county somewhere, and every fiber optic line can easily be dug up and severed with some guy with a backhoe. And it takes like 2 minutes, you know? And in fact, it's so easy to cut the lines that they're cutting them accidentally all the time. You know, farmers or road construction crews, you know, the lines always run along the sides of the highways, and they're out there doing, you know, the lines always run along the highways, and they're out there doing some kind of maintenance, and they accidentally cut the fiber optics. Well, these days, because the digital economy and e-commerce and also, you know, intergovernmental agency communications and email and everything else, it's all digital. Cutting off bandwidth to a city can be rather devastating. Now, I know that bandwidth is redundant. You know, if one fiber optic line is cut, another one can pick up the slack, but that can only work to an extent, after which the traffic just doesn't get through anymore, depending on how many lines are cut and how much redundancy there is and what's the capacity of the border routers and things that handle that traffic. But that's just one example. Bandwidth. Cities need bandwidth, and without it, they're in deep, deep trouble. But you know what else cities need? Well, they need food, and they need trucking. They need trucks to deliver the goods. And if the trucks say we're not going to deliver the goods, then these cities are in deep trouble. And think about everything that trucks deliver. It's gasoline and diesel. It's propane. It's food, consumer goods, spare parts for everything, you know, from air conditioning and automobiles and, you know, telecom and everything that stocks the stores of Best Buy and Walmart and Home Depot. It all arrives by truck. If the trucks don't roll, your city collapses. And so the truckers have actually done something that's very similar to what the Houthis have done in Yemen, in a sense, except without using missiles. The Houthis have carried out a naval blockade against Israel, the US, and the UK by using low-cost drones to kind of harass shipping vessels that go through the Red Sea on their way to the Suez Canal or on their way from the Suez Canal. Basically, they've rendered the Suez Canal useless to a lot of the shipping, most of the shipping, from Israel, US, and the UK. And the Houthis did that without having a navy. They don't have a navy. They don't have a naval vessel of any kind. Maybe a couple of motorboats or something like that. But they don't need it. It's just like the truckers in the US, they don't need to carry out, you know, kinetic attack. They don't need to do anything illegal. They don't need to set off bombs. They don't want to either. They're not terrorists. They're truckers. They just want their country back. They're honest, hardworking Americans. They're not terrorists. They're not saboteurs. The terrorists are the federal government itself and the weaponization of the government against the people. When a court in New York has a twisted, fraudulent judgment against President Trump and says you got to pay $450 million or whatever that is because we think that you use the wrong numbers on your bank loan documentation however many years ago, you know, 12 years ago, whatever it was. That is a weaponization of the system against Trump, and everybody in America knows it. It's supposed to be equal justice under the law, but it's not. It is selective prosecution. While the Clintons and the Obamas and the Bidens all get off for all their crimes, never have a day in court, and all the people who shut down the economy during COVID, all the bureaucrats and tyrants who destroyed local businesses and destroyed the lives of the people and pushed the vaccine mandates and pushed the hospital protocols that led to mass hospital homicide. We have over a million Americans dead because of the COVID vaccines and the hospital homicide. Those people will never see a day in court. They will never be prosecuted. They will never be indicted, at least not under this current system. But yet they go after Trump for doing nothing wrong. Well, look, the American people see the hypocrisy. They're sick and tired of it. and they're pushing back in a form of what you might call nonviolent asymmetrical warfare, which is simply to withdraw your consent from the system. Stop feeding the system that has been weaponized against you. That's what the truckers are doing. They're like, New York City has become a weapon against freedom and justice in America. Well, guess what? We're not going to deliver anything to New York City. And I'm seeing a lot of other people expand that talk to say they won't even do business with New York City. No more business in New York City, no more shipments to New York City, things like that. And I know that some of you who live in New York City, you're not part of this. You're not the problem. You're probably suffering under the same tyranny as everybody else there. But the city has to have pressure from people in order to change and to stop its weaponization against Trump and others like Trump. And so this withdrawal of consent, it is going to have an area effect of economic, you know, supply chain disruptions, let's say. There's just no way around that. So if you live in New York City, stockpile, baby. You know, stock up, get ready. You better have some backup supplies of food, water filters, emergency medicine, everything that you're going to need, even cash or gold and silver or things like that. Make sure you have backup supplies because life is going to get rough. I'm not talking about just from the truckers. I'm talking about everything that's coming. The ratcheting up of civil war is going to be truly historic. This is just the opening salvo. It's going to get way more disruptive from here. And what's changed now in 2024 is that people are aware of how the government has been turned into a weapon of terror against the people, and they're fed up with it. They're aware and they're fed up. And so they're beginning to push back in nonviolent ways. It's a form of protest to say that we're not going to deliver truckloads to your city. You know, it's a form of protest to say we're not going to provide services of, you know, HVAC services or plumbing services or electrical services. We're not going to ship products to you. We're not going to participate in supporting your weaponized city because your city has become part of the problem. That's what more and more Americans are figuring out right now. And that's why this is going to ratchet up. You should expect for this boycott, this embargo, to expand significantly. It's going to get to the point where you're going to have farmers that will refuse to sell food to organizations that are delivering food to the blue cities. Remember, the blue cities are going to continue to wage an expanding war against America. They're going to do everything possible to interfere with the election. They're going to rig it. You know, they're going to cheat. They're going to run mail-in ballots. They're going to lie. They're going to do everything they can to try to rig this election. That's the way the blue cities operate. And they did that in 2020. That's how they stole the election for Biden. And I have a feeling that if they do that again in 2024, there's probably a large group of Americans who are going to say enough is enough. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't want to see any kind of violence, obviously. And I always encourage people to be peaceful, be ethical, be moral. But I'm telling you, I can sense the level of anger across the country that has now reached a level that we have not seen before. And you see it reflected in the truckers. Now, in terms of elections, by the way, it seems obvious at this point that the Democrats are not going to let Joe Biden run for office. And I've heard, although this is an unconfirmed rumor, I've heard that like August 19th or something like that, there's a big Democrat convention when they choose their final candidate. And I've heard a rumor that they're going to dump Biden and they're just going to shove Gavin Newsom into that role on that day. It's like, hey, guess what? Your candidate is now Gavin Newsom, Gruesome Newsom, you know, the tyrant of California that has collapsed California into a state of ruin with high taxation, by the way. So you get the highest taxes, but also the most feces on the streets and the most crime and, you know, the most regulation, an atrocious state. No wonder everybody who can is leaving the state. Well, they're going to say that we need Gruesome Newsom to run the country now. So Joe Biden will be out, Newsom will be in. And then the question is, what kind of false flag operation does the deep state carry out in order to blame something big on Trump? It's kind of like J6. J6 was an FBI operation. They planted the pipe bomb near the DNC. It's obvious at this point. All the videos come out that has shown that. They ran it. They had hundreds of undercover agents trying to stir up some kind of violence or, you know, the insurrection, the incursion. You know, they were trying to entrap Alex Jones and Roger Stone, by the way. And those guys refused to fall for it, you know, because they've got some street smarts. So they did not participate in that. They tried to ensnare Owen Schroyer. And he kept calling for peace and civility, and so did Alex Jones. Secret Service was in on it. Donald Trump's own Secret Service was in on the J6 conspiracy to entrap Trump supporters, by the way. You can't even trust Secret Service. I mean, think about that. So they pulled that off, and they've still pulled that off years later, and they've arrested and are persecuting hundreds, if not maybe over 1,000 American patriots who were just peaceful protesters are still rotting in jails in D.C. Think about that. And then they tried to essentially torture them to get, quote, confessions that would be used to prosecute Donald Trump for insurrection. That's what the whole thing was. And some people refused to confess, and then they were given years of jail sentences instead of months. I mean, it's... all those people who were nonviolent should be pardoned by President Trump, by the way. But if the deep state pulled that off, imagine what they're thinking of next. They're going to do something even bigger. They're going to do something very violent. They're going to set off a bomb. I'm talking about the deep state. Or they're going to set off a nuke, or they're going to drop a bioweapon, or they're going to do a cyber attack on the power grid and somehow blame Trump supporters. Trust me. They're getting ready to do something massive. That's why they've been parading around these feds dressed up as Nazis, waving Nazi flags and always wearing masks. You notice that? So that you can never identify them. Anytime you see Nazi groups running around wearing masks, you know those are feds, by the way. It's kind of a giveaway. So they're gearing up for some kind of a big Nazi fascist type of attack somewhere, which they will attribute to Trump. And you know, it's always suspicious when they have perfectly matching uniforms of the Nazis. It's like, come on, this is a government op. Everybody knows it. You're not fooling anybody. You know, this whole thing is contrived. It's all theater. It's all designed to play to the cameras of CNN and so on. But they're warming up for something big because they need to try to convince the independent voters that Trump is a terrorist or that Trump is a fascist. And Hillary Clinton even said it recently that Trump is going to use the military against the American people if he's elected president. And the reason she said that is because that's exactly what the Democrats plan to do. That's why they're recruiting illegals into the military and kicking out white people out of the military so they can have a new woke military of illegals who will fire upon American citizens and mass exterminate Americans when they resist a tyrannical takeover and massive gun confiscation and just the total weaponization of the military against the American people. Notice the military will not defend America's borders, but they will absolutely go to war against the American people. That's coming. It's crystal clear. But anyway, the Democrats are desperately trying to paint Trump as the enemy of America, when in fact, he may be the best pathway to saving America and ending this tyrannical regime government. That is, it's a complete out of control terrorism organization, full blown censorship, nothing but lies and propaganda, money printing, bribery, kickbacks, international warfare, illegal bioweapons labs in Ukraine, human experimentation, you know, locking up political dissidents, human rights violations galore. That's what defines the U.S. empire at this point. It's sickening, it's twisted, it's evil. And electing Trump might be one way to help stop it, although probably the only way is going to be a collapse, and that collapse is coming, you know, a financial collapse and so on. In any case, get prepared, folks, because civil war is ramping up. You need to have your supplies ready, have all your backups, Let me mention a couple of plugs here. Of course, the satellite phone store, SAT123.com, get you a backup satellite phone that works even when the local towers are down and when the power grid is down. My online store, healthrangerstore.com, gets you backup food supplies that are certified organic, non-GMO, really amazing. We've got the new macaroni and cheese instant meals that's incredibly delicious, very simple ingredients, no artificial colors or flavors or fillers or anything of that kind, all organic, all laboratory tested. Check it out at healthrangerstore.com. And then on top of all that, be sure to check out for backup money, you know, real money, real physical gold and silver, go to metalswithmike.com. That's our gold and silver coin supplier. And then also check out verifiedgoldbacks.com to find out about goldbacks, which have real physical 24 karat gold embedded in every goldback. And that's high utility, high divisibility gold in your hands. So, you know, think about gold and silver. If it's right for you, do your own research. But think about it as a way to preserve assets during a possible financial collapse, and then reduce your risk. Across the board, folks, get ready for this. Have backup supplies. Civil war is ratcheting up across America, and our country has been turned into a war zone. So thank you for listening. Check out more of my interviews and podcasts at Brighteon.com. Take care. All right, welcome back. You know, what's actually remarkable about all of this is that the uncivil war is not really left versus right. It's not even really urban versus rural. It's a war by the governments of the West against their own populations. So if you are with the left on this, then you are with essentially what have become government terrorists who are trying to achieve depopulation. In fact, I interviewed Dr. Sherry Tenpenny today. I think we'll play that really soon, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, not exactly sure. But she confirmed during the interview that if you look at what's really behind the vaccines, how they were engineered, all the different mechanisms of injury that they impart on humanity, she's convinced that the deaths from the vaccines are going to accelerate over the next 3 to 5 years. We're already seeing, you know, turbo cancers taking people out in huge numbers, record cancer deaths. And we're seeing more deaths from myocarditis. We're seeing more autoimmune disorders on the rise like crazy. And of course, exploding infertility. This is a depopulation system, and it's run by the government. I mean, think about it. It's run by the Western governments. So if you oppose genocide of the human race, then you have to be opposed to these government policies and government tyranny and the World Health Organization and its pandemic treaty nonsense and all these mechanisms that are trying to enslave and then exterminate the people of our world. You know, this is what strikes me as one of the contradictions of the left. A lot of leftists are speaking out against Israel's bombing of Gaza. And some conservatives as well, like myself, but mostly it's leftists that are saying, hey, genocide against the Palestinians is wrong, but isn't it just pathetic that those same leftists think that genocide against the entire human race is totally fine? Because that's what they support. They support the genocide of the American people. It's like, you know, save the Palestinians, but destroy the Americans. And even these white leftists, They're a suicide cult. They can't wait to destroy themselves, to have all white people overrun and destroyed and to have America invaded and occupied by the replacement crew, you know, people of color coming in and exterminating and displacing all the American people, especially white people. Even left-wing white people are all on board with this, but they most definitely want to save the brown people in Palestine, but they want to mass murder American white people, especially Christians. You know, of course, I find all of that insane. And I also find the Zionist, Christian Zionist position to also be insane, because I'm a person of principle. And I say genocide is always wrong against brown people, white people, Palestinian people, black people, any people. Genocide is always wrong. Why? It's like, why can't we live in a world where that's a principle that we abide by, where it's just wrong It's always wrong to kill people. It's always wrong to commit genocide. But the assaults against humanity are so obvious. Here's a story from the National Pulse. Geoengineering ramps up with large-scale government projects across the globe. Large-scale geoengineering, the deliberate interventions to alter the Earth's climate, will be taking place in the near future. What was once the province of science fiction will soon become part of the official strategies to fight climate change. So, remember over the last 20 years, anytime we talked about weather control technology or geoengineering or chemtrails, you know, we were always derided as crazy people. It's like, oh, there's no such thing as geoengineering. You know, you saw all these stories from the mainstream media. They said, oh, it's all made up. It's all fiction. But then, you know, Dane Wigington from Geoengineering Watch, he documented all the patents approved by the U.S. Patent Office that showed weather control technologies going back decades. And we've seen weather control systems used around the world, even in cities like Dubai, to generate, you know, rainfall and things like that. And, you know, we've seen HAARP systems messing with the ionosphere and then driving storms. We've all, I hope you've seen some of the satellite images of certain storms over the last decade that were clearly steered into certain cities, you know, specifically to punish Florida, for example, or sometimes to punish Texas. You know, weather control systems are run by the globalists as a weapon against humanity. It's another weapon system to cause floods or droughts or freezes and to destroy crops. It's just like they go out and sabotage food infrastructure. They burn down chicken farms and, you know, and burn up food distribution hubs in certain cities. Well, they also run weather systems. They direct them in order to maximize damage to the food infrastructure. This is all about creating scarcity and ultimately starvation and famine, because the governments of the West, and this seems to be unique to the West, this is not how Russia works or China or Iran or African nations. This is the West. The Western governments hate their own people. They want to murder their own people, and they are actually carrying it out. And the number of mechanisms involved in this are astonishing. Yes, it's the pandemic lockdowns. Yes, it's the vaccines. Yes, it's antidepressant drugs that lead to suicides and mass shootings. Yes, it's child mutilations and infertility. Yes, it's violence in the cities and letting criminals loose on the streets on purpose so they kill more people. On and on and on. But it's also geoengineering on top of that. It's also engineered famine. It's like Michael Yon says, you know, war, famine, and pandemics, they all go together. You know, war, famine, and disease. The diseases are engineered. They're released on purpose, or at least weaponized particles are dropped on people. And then famine through the food sabotage. And then war is being escalated on purpose so that the West is brought into a nuclear war with Russia. And the goal of the leaders of America is to have America nuked before Election Day. Understand, nuked before Election Day. That's their goal. It's clear that that's their goal. And I've talked about this before, but you understand, the people running America right now, which is almost certainly Barack Obama and other people around him, they have long sought to destroy America. They need Putin to do it. They need to be able to blame someone else. They want to blame Russia. So they're trying to provoke Russia to nuke America, which will accomplish all kinds of things that the leftists want. They want to cancel the elections, first of all. They want a big emergency. They want to play the victim role. But they also want to see America destroyed. And they want to have an excuse to destroy the financial system to cover up all their financial crimes for all these decades. It's just like they brought down Building 7 on 9/11 in order to bury all the evidence of the CIA's financial crimes and drug running and money laundering operations. Yeah, you knew that, right? That all the records died when Building 7 was demolished on purpose, when they brought it down. Yeah, it was a multi-purpose, you know, false flag attack. And Building 7 was brought down by demolition because no airplane hit Building 7. They needed to destroy the evidence of their crimes. That's why they brought down Building 7. This is why they want America nuked today. If they nuke, or I should say, if they get Russia to nuke Washington, D.C., then they can cover up all their crimes against America and financial crimes and money printing crimes, and they can just declare force majeure. You know, force majeure on everything. And we're going to take all your money. We're going to confiscate all your property. The great taking. A nuclear weapon striking Washington, D.C. is exactly what the current corrupt, treasonous leaders of America want to happen. They want to see America nuked. It accomplishes everything that they stand for. So when Russia's Medvedev comes out and he says things like, you know, don't provoke us, you know, or we're going to nuke Washington and London and Paris and Berlin, then, you know, the current puppeteers leading the United States are listening to that and saying, oh, awesome, you've just given us exactly what we need to do to provoke you. And so they do that. And let's sink some Russian ships, you know, let's send over F-16s armed with nuclear weapons. Let's send over like long-range artillery, long-range rockets, like anything to provoke Russia. Because they want Russia to nuke America, you see? And what's the big picture in all of this? It's global government. They want one world government, which even George Bush Sr. talked about. It's a new world order, you know? That's what he was talking about. One world government. They don't want a Bill of Rights in the way. They don't want a Second Amendment to exist. They don't want a First Amendment. They don't want the U.S. Constitution. They have to destroy America to destroy the Constitution in order to get the U.S. out of the way for global government. And that's what the WHO pandemic treaty is all about. It's a global scientific dictatorship. And of course, they need to control all speech. You know how they've criminalized any criticism against mRNA injections in France now. You can go to jail for 3 years for saying that you don't think mRNA vaccines work. Yeah, they'll arrest you and throw you in jail for 3 years. That's coming to every country in the West, including the United States. You saw the interview, I hope, with Mike Benz and Tucker Carlson describing that, where the U.S., the federal government has declared that any speech that they don't like is labeled misinformation and declared a cybersecurity threat against the institutions of democracy. So they now define democracy not as the will of the voters, but as the institutions of government, the institutions of the CDC and the FDA, the institutions of, you know, tyranny. In fact, Paul Craig Roberts did a really great article on this. It's worth reading on his website, paulcraigroberts.org. And, you know, I interviewed Paul Craig Roberts not long ago. It's definitely worth listening to that interview. He says 2024 is the last year of free speech and democracy in the Western world. And he says everyone needs to understand that the ruling elite in the U.S. are implementing a decision to redefine democracy in a way that eliminates democracy. And it makes Congress superfluous. It makes voting pointless. And it discards the Constitution as an outdated document, inconsistent with the power the ruling elite intend to wield over Americans and the rest of the world. And he goes on. This is a really important paragraph. Let me read it for you. The decision has been made to redefine democracy from the will of the people to protecting, quote, the sanctity of democratic institutions. Precisely what are these democratic institutions? Well, they are not the institutions such as Congress and representative government or the rule of law or an independent judiciary that we currently regard as democratic institutions. No, they mean that democratic institutions are the institutions of the censorship industry, the military security complex, the State Department, NATO, CIA, FBI, IMF, World Bank, NGOs, the Atlantic Council, the Aspen Institute, the Prestitutes, BlackRock, JP Morgan Chase, and others of the consensus-building institutions that set agendas and control the narratives. He writes that to express disagreement with the consensus that these elite institutions build is considered to be an attack on democracy. In other words, democracy, in quotes, is the property of the elite institutions, and the sanctity of these elite institutions must be protected from the people. Defined by Hillary Clinton as the Trump deplorables, the will of the people is eliminated from the picture, you see? And he writes that universities like Stanford and major corporations, especially the tech companies, and social media, law schools, medical associations, governors, members of Congress associated with the WEF, they all accept the redefinition of democracy to exclude the will of the people. And they agree that the Constitution is inconsistent with the power that they intend to wield over the citizens. Think about that. It's exactly right. Democracy will no longer be defined as the will of the people or representative government. Democracy will be the regime, the fascist medical dictatorship and, you know, speech dictatorship. You can only say what they allow you to say. Anything else will be considered a terrorist cybersecurity threat against, quote, democracy. So this is why OpenAI and you know, all the language models out there now are not answering questions about the upcoming election or Trump or election fraud. They've been ordered by the cybersecurity group, the CISA, to not allow any information to be stated, even by an AI system, that might indicate election fraud by the Democrats. You see? And it's not difficult to realize that this is a rapid slide into a communist dictatorship and one world government. And that's the plan. That's the point, is to push us into one world government, a global dictatorship. And of course, under this dictatorship, they can declare any emergency at any time for any made up reason, like a climate emergency. Oh my God, it's a climate emergency. What do you mean? Well, there's weather, you know. So it's a climate emergency. Oh, well, what do we have to do? Well, you can no longer own a car. You can no longer eat meat. You can no longer fly on an airplane. You're no longer allowed to buy more than 3 pairs of shoes every 10 years or whatever. That's what is meant. It's a 15-minute city. You're a prisoner in a city, just like the prisoners in Gaza right now, who are also being bombed to death by Israel, by the West. That's what this is. They're going to enslave you and exterminate you. And if you speak out against it, then they'll say you're an enemy of democracy. We are already sliding into this scenario right now. And this next election might be the very last chance to save this country. Or the whole system might just collapse anyway. I'm not sure exactly how this is going to go or what the trigger mechanisms are going to be. But I've long said I don't think the United States of America exists in its current form beyond 2025. You've heard me predict that many times, probably. And I'm sticking with that because it's pretty obvious. We may not make it out of 2024 with the United States of America still united. I mean, look at what Utah just signed into law. Utah basically just said, we're going to be our own country. We're not going to listen to the federal government anymore on things that are unconstitutional. And yeah, probably Texas will do something similar. And this is going to spread all over. This is, again, the soft secession, or what's going to become the uncivil war. It's ratcheting up right now, every day, all around us. So I want to get to the interview here with Stefan Verstappen, who is a pretty mild-mannered guy, right? So he's not going to sound perhaps as excited as I sound right now. He's more mild-mannered. He's very mature. He's got a lot of experience. He's been through a lot. And he helps to organize communities. But he's got a lot of wisdom over those years. So I do want to encourage you to listen carefully to what he has to offer here. And let me just add, you know, a couple of preparedness-oriented plugs here. Of course, I always want to thank our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com, you know, for backup communications. And for off-grid money solutions, off-grid gold that works in any scenario, we have two solutions for you. Gold and silver coins are from the Treasure Island Company. That's metalswithmike.com. Or if you want gold backs, which are more divisible, down to 1/1000th of an ounce of gold, you can get those through verifiedgoldbacks.com. That's our affiliate website. Both of those are sponsors. And then if you want backup supplies of food, then of course check out our store, healthrangerstore.com. And I also have an interview coming up soon with Hoplite Armor, by the way, and another returning interview from 1791 Gun Leather. And we'll probably do another interview with Shield Arms pretty soon as well. But those three companies, shieldarms.com, hoplitearmor.com, and 1791gunleather.com, always try the discount code RANGER at those three sites. I'm not sure if that's active on all three sites, but from time to time it is. And sometimes it gets you savings of 10%, and we don't earn anything off of that. It's just a savings for you. But in terms of getting good gear and getting ready to prepare for the uncivil war that's coming, and to get prepared for your your city, your town, your community to be overrun with enemy combatants, because that's what's about to happen in America. We got to gear up, folks, and we need to connect. We need to have backup food and backup medicine and all the things that are necessary to survive. Backup currency, backup ammunition. I mean, it's coming down to we're going to have to defend America against foreign invaders or invaders foreign and domestic even. It just depends on how this whole thing plays out. But I'm with America, okay? And I'm also with Texas. If America falls, then Texas will not fall. Texas will still be there. But if America falls, you know, I mean, we could lose this country, right? So in summary, I urge you to take this seriously. Everybody who's paying attention is noticing the severity of this situation. You know, Paul Craig Roberts and Egon von Greyers and many others, myself. And even I also interviewed Jonathan Emord today, and he's very concerned that we could lose our constitutional republic. He's running for Senate in Virginia, and I'll play that interview soon. But even people who used to maybe mock these kinds of warnings 5 years ago, not anymore. They can see it. We're about to lose our republic, folks. And our own federal government is at war with we the people. It's at war with the American people. Just like the British government is at war against the British citizens, French government, the German government is at war with their own citizens. I mean, the German government is a suicide cult. Well, a blue-haired, nose-ring, woke suicide cult. That's the German government. I don't know how. I mean, Germany will not survive this. Germany is going to be obliterated. I mean, economically, culturally, geopolitically. Frankly, I don't even know how the UK survives this. I don't know how Israel survives what's happening right now in the Middle East. And frankly, at this point, I'm not sure that the United States of America is going to survive either. And sadly, that's the globalist plan, is to destroy America. I don't want to see that happen. I love my country. You know, I love my state of Texas. I love my culture, the American spirit. And I love what America was founded on and what it stood for until recently. And now it has been hijacked and taken over by evil, nefarious, satanic death cult forces that are at war with the people, the good people of Western civilization, who are being exterminated. And think about all the people that lined up to get the jabs over and over again. They were complicit in their own suicide. It's like they volunteered to be slaughtered by their own government that declared war on them. And the defining factor was the gullibility of the people. If they were gullible enough to believe that the government wanted to take care of them. Oh yeah, it's going to take care of you for sure. Like kind of like taking care of you, like, you know, chaining you to some cement blocks and throwing you in the river. Yeah, we took care of them. You know, that's the way they want to take care of you. They don't want you to exist. Understand? This is not rocket science at this point. You can't miss the signs. The people who still miss the signs, they're goners, man. People still lining up to take these shots, they're gone. There's not much that we can do for them. We can't help them any longer. The people that are still voting for tyranny, there's nothing we can do to help them. They're gone. They're lobotomized. They've abandoned their humanity. They've abandoned their freedom and liberty and their own futures. I mean, they mutilate the genitals of their own children, for God's sake. How do they think they're going to have a future? They don't have a future. The whole LGBT agenda of Western civilization has no future. It's rooted in pure Satanism. It's a death cult run by Satan. That's what the rainbow flag actually indicates, is the capture of the symbol of the rainbow, which was supposed to be a symbol of God and light. It's been captured by the satanic forces and inverted and weaponized against us to proclaim satanic control over Western civilization. That's why they flew the flag at the Capitol building and the White House and embassies all over the world, because it's claiming domain over the West by Satan. So this is more than an economic war. It's more than, you know, a civil war or maybe a kinetic war between nations. This is a spiritual war. And those who side with the terroristic governments are soldiers of Satan. They are soldiers of Satan, and they seek the total destruction of the human race as represented by Western culture. That is their goal. They know it. They admit it. They despise the West. They hate the American flag. They hate the Constitution. They despise it. And they're seeking the total destruction of the West, which includes Western Europe as well. Same thing's going on in Australia and New Zealand. By the way, of course, Canada, total destruction of Canadian culture, total destruction of the rule of law, total destruction of the Canadian economy. This is a global satanic death cult occupation of the West. And we either take back our countries from these satanic death cultists or we lose everything. And how we end up on this is the choice is ours. And I don't know how this ends. And I don't know at what point God just throws like giant mountains of burning rock at North America. just pulls a Noah's Ark type of thing, except instead of the great flood is like the great, you know, fireball mountains falling out of the sky. Yeah, hey, hit the reset button on the entire planet. That could be happening. That might already be in the works. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know the mind of God, but you can bet that if God's watching this carefully enough, he's warming up the giant space rocks right now, you know, giant flaming mountains. This is way beyond Sodom and Gomorrah, folks. This is a satanic hijacking of half the planet. God's not happy with this. But remember, as we start out with the song here, you know, this world is not my home. It was a good lyrics from a song decades old. There's a lot of truth and wisdom that has been lost since then. But, you know, a lot of people in the 1950s and 60s and 70s knew a whole lot more than what society reflects today. That's for sure. All right. With that said, let's go to the interview with Stefan Verstappen. And I think you'll find some real gems in what he has to say. But just remember, he's more low key. So like downshift your vibe here right now. Tune into some wisdom. You're going to learn some really interesting things about how to survive in community. Enjoy the interview. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Take care. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, and we're joined by an extraordinary individual today who's been a longtime prepper, and his website is called formingcommunities.com. And he offers some hope for how we navigate these very difficult times that we're moving through right now that will require more than just being a lone prepper or a lone survivalist. His name is Stefan Verstappen, and he joins us today. Welcome, Stefan. It's great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me on, Mike. I've been a big fan of yours for many years, and actually, I've been meaning to contact you for years now, but I just never got around to it.
Well, no worries. My producers were able to reach you, and we got you on today, so we've got a lot to talk about. First of all, can I get your just a little intro from you for our audience, since this is the first time we've had you on the show?
Okay. So I'm Canadian, born and raised in Toronto, Canada. At an early age, I became concerned about surviving the nuclear apocalypse. You know, when my parents bought their first home here in Canada back in 1963, one of the options that you had for buying a home was whether or not you wanted a fallout shelter.
Oh, wow. Back.
Yeah. So you could have a two-car garage, you could have a deck, or you could have a fallout shelter. Because this was around the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis. And everybody was really concerned about there was going to be a nuclear war. Now, growing up as a child in the 60s and as a teenager in the 70s, we were inundated with fear porn. You know how the government is. They want everybody to be scared all the time. Now, way back then, the fear porn centered around nuclear annihilation.
Uh-huh.
And we had the book at the school everybody was reading was On the Beach. And so that's what we were all worried about. We were pretty much told that we're all going to die in a nuclear holocaust. So at that age, I started, and I'm talking about 12, I started becoming a prepper. Back then, there was no such thing as a prepper. The term hadn't been coined yet. So we called ourselves survivalists. And I had my first bug out bag when I was, 13.
That's great.
Yeah.
Bugging out from mom and dad's house.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to leave them behind. They weren't ready for it.
All right. And then since then, we've seen this extraordinary transition where we even have, for example, now in 2024, we have the German government telling its citizens to build bunkers. We have this, the whole concept now of being a survivalist is no longer a fringe thing, not after COVID, not after, war with Russia and all this talk of nuclear war. Would you say it's kind of gone a lot more mainstream? I mean, Costco selling like survival kits and so on.
Oh, yeah, it's gone way, way more mainstream, especially since my days back in the 70s and 80s, which is a good thing, I suppose. Nothing wrong with being prepped. I was also a Boy Scout. And what's the motto of the Boy Scouts?
Be prepared.
Yeah, so it's a good thing. I mean, you should be prepared anyways. There's all kinds of natural disasters that can occur. Earthquakes, storms, floods. We've seen them all in the past year or two. Snowstorms that can knock the power out for weeks. Well, you better have food in the house. You better have some candles. So being prepared is an intelligent thing to do. And also, our ancestors, our grandparents, they were preppers.
Yes.
They had to figure out how to survive the winters up here, which is brutal. And they had to do a lot of things that modern preppers do, stockpile food for 4 months, 5 months. They had to learn canning and preserving and making their own, purifying their own water. And so they had to do a lot of things. And we were spoiled for a time, and I guess we still are, because we now have everything at our fingertips. What Max Egan always calls the truckitarians. Everything's brought to us on a truck, which is nice and dandy. But what happens if those trucks aren't working anymore? They don't have gas, or they're closed down, or the fuel's run out. Then you've got like 2 days in which to stock up as much as you can, and then that's going to be it. So better to be prepared now.
Yeah. Well, that reminded me what you just said there. It's astonishing to me how few people actually prepare, even when, for example, hurricanes are known to be approaching. We see this in Florida all the time. 24 hours before the hurricane is going to hit, the water supplies are wiped out in the stores. And, I have so many questions like, number one, what, you don't have water at home? You don't have a water filter? Well, how come you didn't already have water? And secondly, why did you wait for the last 24 hours? It's been a 10-day forecast of this hurricane, right?
Right. No, so listen, being prepared is sensible. It's logical. There's nothing paranoid about it. You don't have to be a conspiracy theorist. Like when I lived in Taiwan, we had typhoons and earthquakes, So you needed stuff in the house because the typhoon was coming. And then there was no chance to run to the store. So it's just common sense. And, nothing irrational about it, but the thing is now what we are facing is far more serious than just a natural disaster. I'll tell you what scares me, Mike. What scares me, and I'm going to mention a word here that probably many people don't know, and that word is democide.
Ah.
D-M-O-C-I-D-E. Now, democide means death by government. It means being murdered by your own government. And in the last century, conservative estimate is that 239 million people were murdered by their own governments. This is more than all the casualties in all the wars, World War I, World War II, more than all those casualties combined, people that are murdered by their own government. Now, what worries me is the people that did most of those murders, I'm talking the Bolsheviks, the Communist Chinese, the Khmer Rouge, most of those people are still around today. People like are still around today. And they murdered 239 million people in the last century. And I worry they're going to do the same thing now. Remember, your worst enemy is your own government. The chances of you being murdered by an invading army, has especially here in North America, has been like non-existent, except until now, where recently we've been importing our very own invading army.
Right. That's so, illegals. Yeah.
And
but I agree with what you just said, and I'm familiar with that research. I think it was out of the University of Hawaii put those numbers out there. And you're right, 239 million, I think, was the low estimate, and it goes up from there. But there's an interesting contrast here, where even though more and more people are aware of some of the possible threats that they may be facing, including, by the way, from their own government now. You know, we see in America, in the United States, more and more people extremely angry at the border invasion situation. But yet we have in all of human history, our populations today are the least practical in terms of real world skills. Like many, especially younger people, don't know how to change tires on vehicles or how to repair clothing or how to run a sewing machine or just basic skills that, you know, you and I probably grew up learning things like that, you know, gardening, a little bit of sewing, a little bit of repair. Otherwise, that's the only way we could have stuff around was to keep fixing it, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I always try to mentor young men where I can because, you know, I'm a kung fu instructor. I have been teaching for over 40 years, and I get a lot of young men that want to learn from me. And the first thing I do is teach them how to hike and how to fix things and how to be self-reliant. You know, I'm not... You know, before I teach you how to do a spinning outside crescent kick, can you go for a walk in the forest and not get lost?
Yeah.
The answer is no, they can't. I'm not kidding.
Amazing.
I've had so many cases like that. I had a young man come over. I said, this is when I was living in Ventura, California. I said, well, I'm going to go bicycle up into the mountains, up into the Sierra Madres. If you want to come along, then bring your bike. So he brought his bike over, and he said, oh, there's something wrong with my bike. It's broken. And I looked at it. I said, well, the chain's fallen off the sprocket. And he says, oh, well, can that be fixed?
What?
I know, Mike. You know, like, I showed him. I said, okay, look, see the chain? Lift it up with your finger. Bring it up over. Put it on the sprocket. Fixed. Okay.
Yeah.
Then he said, well, there's something else wrong with the bike. I said, yeah, both your tires are flat. Well, can that be? I'm talking a 31-year-old man, Mike.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Man. So I gave him my bicycle pump. Every time I go for a bicycle ride, I have a little survival kit. And I also carry my own, you know, bicycle repair kit and flat repair kit and a hand pump. So I said, here you go. And he looks at it and goes, what's this?
Oh, my.
You know, we're talking about two generations of people that can't do anything, Mike. They can't do anything. But
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I did a podcast a while ago, and I told people, look, you need to get a foot bicycle pump and have it in your car as an emergency way to pump up your car tires.
Yep.
And at first, I got a lot of kickback from or pushback from people that said, you can't pump up a car tire with a foot pump, a bicycle pump. I'm like... Well, of course you can. It's only like 35 PSI. I mean, you just have to have the right valve, the Schwinn valve or whatever the standard bicycle valve, not the Presta valve, but the other one. Just have, mm-hmm. I mean, it's the default pump. You just get a pump, you put it in your car. And people are driving around trying to find quarters and trying to go to a gas station to put quarters in the machine. Like you could have pumped that up yourself in 5 minutes with your own bicycle pump. But people don't even know this. Shocking to me.
No, I know, Mike. It's really sad. And especially with what's coming. I mean, if the supply chain breaks down, and of course we expect that to happen, not only the food supply, but everything else, parts. I'm already hearing stories that people can't get parts. They got to wait 6 months to get a part to fix their car. So listen, if you can't fix that yourself, well, you're going to be pretty much helpless.
Yeah.
The people in my generation are a little bit older than me. I'm 67 now. So the people in my generation, we knew how to do that all ourselves. We all worked our own cars. If the muffler needed changing, we would do it ourselves. We'd go to the store, we'd buy the muffler, we'd fix it in the driveway.
Right.
Same thing with the alternator or the fuel or the water pump or whatever. We did all that work ourselves. It wasn't rocket science. You had a good socket wrench set and off you go.
Yeah.
But nowadays, they don't know any of that anymore. That's why one of the other things I'm trying to do with the community, with what we're doing, is mentorship programs. Sending a kid to university, just burn the money. But why would you send somebody to university? They're going to come back a communist tranny or something like that. A complete waste of time.
Yep.
But mentorship programs was the traditional way where people learned, right?
All that experience serves us well, and I'm glad you have mentorship programs. I want to ask you, just to change gears a little bit, though, sure. What do you assess, based on what you know right now and what you've seen, what do you think is the greatest risk that would require survival skills? Like, what are the most likely scenarios that people are going to face?
Well, I came out with a video not too long ago saying that we are at war. And I also wrote an article for the Trends Journal, you know, our friend Gerald Celente.
Yes.
And that was actually on the Alex Jones show. Not me. My article, they were discussing, Gerald was on there and they were leafing through the magazine and they were focusing on my article, which is Historical Cycles, Are We Doomed to Repeat the Past? And it's basically a quick summary of history, how every civilization goes through a natural cyclic period, right? Basically spring, summer, fall, and winter. And then it collapses. And when it collapses, you enter into a period of chaos. So we are definitely in the winter of our civilization. You can see it all around you. This is not something new to anybody who's got their eyes open. Look at how everything has deteriorated and been degraded, and it's become degenerate. It's just, look, it's all falling apart. Now, what will eventually happen is, and what's the greatest threat to us, is a breakdown in the chains of distribution. Number one. Food. That's why in our community we have teams, and one of our teams is the garden team. We aim to become completely self-sufficient in terms of food, and we are, Mike. It's amazing the work our community has done. Then the other thing is going to be medicine. So medicine is another important aspect. And that's what we're doing with our community. We have a medical team. We aim to supply our own medical needs now.
Let me ask you, I mean, that's fascinating that you've been able to put all of that together. But most importantly for our audience, you teach how to build these communities. And I'd like you to talk about that for a minute, because on your website, it's the complete guide to forming communities. And that is your website, formingcommunities.com. And this is something that people can purchase and get the lectures and so on. But give us a taste of sort of what, well, let me ask it this way. I do want to get a taste of what's in your course, but I also want you to address the fact that, like, I've seen a lot of community projects that just completely were catastrophic failures, and people's egos got involved and somebody thought they were the king. And man, I've seen that time and time again. Even these utopia projects, people want to get together. Let's form a utopia and we'll all grow weed, you know, and those things collapse faster than anything else. What's your experience on communities?
Yeah. The same as you have, Mike. You know, I know because I've been doing this for about, you know, forming communities for the last 15 years. Most of the time, I've been unable to do anything positive. Mind you, I lived in the big city. The big cities is a bad place to do this. Just, it doesn't work out. Where I am now is a rural community, and we have a lot of Amish and Mennonites, a lot of farms.
Oh, that's great.
And I got to tell you, people in small towns living in a rural community, they have a different mentality. Our community is completely democratic. We meet every week. Everybody just cooperates. And so far, so good. We do not have the usual internal squabbles that will destroy a community that you've obviously seen, Mike, firsthand.
Yeah, but let me ask you then, how will your community interact with people in a crisis when there's a flood of non-preppers who show up and they demand your supplies? Have you had discussions about how you're going to deal with that?
Yes, we've discussed that. First of all, number one, our community is ultra secret. Operational security, OPSEC. We don't have a website. We don't have a Facebook page. We don't have any presence on the internet whatsoever. I just used ChatGPT to see if there's any information on our community, and there's nothing. We're not, and also, we don't allow people to bring cell phones to the meetings.
Oh, wow.
Well, because the cell phone's always on. They're always listening.
Yes.
So you have to do that, because otherwise, oh, well, if the shit hits the fan and everybody knows, oh, well, there they are out over there. They're in Oxford County. Let's go get their food. Well, you know, that's not something you can deal with if you have 1,000 people showing up and, you know, trying to take advantage of the food supplies 100 people put together. So you, first of all, you have to be under the radar. And what I recommend in my course or and in my writings is that if you're going to put something together, don't call it the freedom cells. Because you're going to track every FBI agent within 500 miles to come and visit you. You know, you should call it Aunt Betty's Knitting Club.
Right.
Right. Look, it doesn't matter what you call yourself. It's what you do. You know, all this yippity-yap. Most important is what you do. So I can call myself, you know, the Audubon Society of Oxford or anything like that that's nondescript, non-threatening. Then what we do when we get together is, yeah, we garden, we set up medical systems, we have a security team, we have a communications team, we do homeschooling, we do Meals on Wheels, we do all those things. But we just call it Aunt Betty's Knitting Club. So that's one thing. Also, people that want to come into the society, they are first recommended by a member. Okay? So you can't look us up and come and visit us. We don't have a presence. There's no address. There's no, like I said, no Facebook page, nothing like that. So it's only people that we know, and that's how I was introduced to. I knew one of the members. They knew me, and they knew the work I was doing, and they trusted me. You know, I have I'm reputable. And so they invited me to join, and I was happy to join. So that's one thing. Now, the other point that you brought up is, what do you do when there's a lot of hungry people? And I've already brought this up at a couple of our meetings already 2-3 years ago, because other members brought that up. They said, well, you know, we're growing so much food and we've got some, what do we do? And I said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to do just like we would if we were a church, and we're going to tithe. And that means we will keep 10% and we'll set that aside for the greater community.
Yeah, and, okay, but Stefan, and then what? What happens when that 10% runs out? And
well, we're working on long-term sustainability.
Uh-huh.
So we're always going to have that 10%. It's but not, I mean, that
do you
stockpile food and that's it.
Do you go to these people and say, okay, you know, like, we can feed you for 6 months, but you're going to have to start growing food with us. So here, grab a rake, learn how to garden, you know, get involved? Is it a meritocracy in that sense, or is there always going to be some kind of system of handouts to people who don't participate?
No. It has to be a meritocracy. Listen, we can hand out, you know, let's say 3 months, all right? So, you know, same where I live here, there's lots of kids and families. I've got probably a year and a half worth of food stockpiled. And all of our members also, not only do we have communal gardens, but all our members have backyard gardens. So they all grow their own food. They're all pretty much independent from just using their own backyards. And the other thing, too, is it's really important to make friends with the local farmers.
Yes.
Go to the farmer's market, get to know them and support them.
Absolutely. And I want to mention the CSAs, you know, community supported agriculture. So we have a lot of CSAs across the continental United States as well that people can participate in that. Just yes. Like you were saying, for maybe like $75 every couple of weeks, you get a big box of fresh produce. I mean, it varies from farm to farm. But Stefan, as we're just about out of time, we're going to wrap this up. What would you say is the number one thing that the number one gap in mainstream people's lack of preparedness? Like, what's the first thing that they should look at? And like, if someone's watching this and they're like, I'm not a prepper, I haven't done any of this, where should they begin?
They should begin with focusing on becoming as self-sufficient in food as they can.
Food.
Yeah, because that's, listen, I read a lot of history, and everything that we've come up with and everything that I teach in my course is based on my study of history. What did our great-great-grandparents do? How did they survive? They survived by forming mutual aid societies, friendly societies, fraternal societies. They didn't form communes, okay? Forget about communes. Everybody lived in their own house. It's just that they pooled their money and their efforts together. We volunteer our time to work in the garden. We just had a meeting last Thursday. Okay, who's going to volunteer to water the garden this year? Who's going to volunteer to weed it? Who's going to volunteer to aerate the soil? Who's going to volunteer to harvest it? People put in their own hours, a couple hours a week, and you get a ton of food out of that garden. So that's one of the first things, because my study of history shows that starvation, the people that run this world, use starvation as a weapon. So one of the things.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So number one is, first of all, as a prepper, make sure you stockpile about a year's supply worth of food, okay? Then at least you've got a little bit of play, a little bit of leeway, right? So
right.
Now what are you going to do? Now you're going to start growing a garden? You don't have time. So you need, you know, that 6 months where you can still survive. And now we start raising chickens, and now we start gardening and doing what we can become self-sustainable food-wise. Now, perfect. I know a lot of the preppers, it's all about, oh, how many guns you have. That's really low on our priority list is the guns. We've got a couple of guys, myself included, we got some guns. Okay, but that's not really what I'm worried about. What I'm worried about is food self-sufficiency. And medicine, number two, what if you get sick? What if you get double pneumonia? Do you have enough antibiotics?
Well, yeah, but you live in Canada and people aren't as violent there as they are where we are in America. That's why, I mean, I'm coming to you from Texas here. Everybody's armed to the teeth, man.
Yeah, I like that.
Because of the expectation of violence and civil unrest and cities collapsing and refugees spilling out of the cities and trying to raid people's food. But, yep. You know, hey, America is the number one country in the world of gun ownership per capita. It's more than one gun per citizen, by the way. So, Stefan, we need to wrap this up. We're out of time for today. I want to give out your website again. This has been fascinating. Thank you for sharing this information.
Oh, you're welcome, Mike. Thanks for having me on. Like I said, I'm a big fan. I've been meaning to call you and get on your show for months, years.
Well, I'm glad you made it today. Formingcommunities.com is the website. The complete guide to forming communities is something that you can get there and learn from some of his other articles that are also in, as he said earlier, the Trends Journal with Gerald Celente. and other sources, other videos and so on. Stefan, thank you for your time today. Thank you for your wisdom and what you're doing. I love the mentorship program that you mentioned and how you're helping to build resilient local communities that can make it through anything that's coming.
Well, thanks for having me on again, Mike, and we should do it again soon.
We shall, and thank you for your time, and the pleasure's all mine. We appreciate you, your wisdom, and your contributions, and I'm sure all the people in your community appreciate what you're doing. So thank you for your time again today. And for those of you watching, feel free to repost this interview on other channels and platforms as well. As always, you have our permission to do so. Of course, this platform is also at your service, Brighteon.com. You can post videos, create a channel there. And maybe one day, Brighteon videos won't be censored on X, too. We'll see if we can make that happen. In the meantime, thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, also a lifetime prepper here and the founder of Brighteon.com. Take care, everybody. I want to show you what we have put together here in terms of our really popular, now wheat-free, certified organic, lab-tested macaroni and cheese meal mixes. I've got them on my desk here. The way we sell them, it's in a mini bucket format. You see the bottom ones there. And inside each bucket are three of these packs right here, which is, you know, vacuum-packed. It's nitrogen-flooded and then vacuumed in a very rugged, long-term, stable bag. This is wheat-free. It's made out of amaranth as well as quinoa. And so this holds its shape and texture and tastes really great. It's not like gritty and mushy like whole wheat macaroni tends to be. So we have this, and then this is a cheese pack that's also very durable, rugged packing. And this, you know, no garbage, no artificial colors, no fillers, nothing like that. And in the cheese pack are very simple certified organic ingredients. Check it out. Organic white cheddar powder, organic heavy cream powder, organic butter powder, organic whey protein powder, organic onion powder, and organic black pepper powder. And that's it, folks. There's no fillers, no artificial flavors, no artificial colors. I mean, no colors of any kind actually in it. And it's very easy to make. It's extremely delicious. Now, it does not have any salt added. We did that on purpose because we wanted people to be able to salt it according to your own taste. So for those having a low sodium diet, you can easily incorporate this. I mean, check the nutrition facts label. It still does have sodium naturally in the cheese, but we did not add any salt. So it can be incorporated into a low sodium diet if that's something that you're paying attention to. For the rest of us, I add salt to this, by the way, and I don't normally add salt to anything, but this is so low in the salt because we didn't add any salt to the recipe that I think you actually have to add a little bit of salt to bring out the flavor and make it taste really delicious. And then it does when you add a little bit of salt to it. So this is, all you got to do is boil water. You know, you boil the elbows for 5 to 10 minutes, and then you add in the cheese powder, you stir it in, you're done. And it's super delicious. This is a really great preparedness meal. I think you'll really love this. We also have, this is very popular. It is an organic banana, peanut butter, and chocolate instant superfood shake. Now, this product, which is available in various quantities, if you go to our store, you can just buy, you know, one canister, or you can buy them in groups. This also is very delicious, but very simple. Look at the ingredients. Organic whey protein powder, banana powder, also organic, peanut butter powder, cocoa powder, coconut sugar, which is a low glycemic sweetener. And that's it, folks. It's all organic. It's laboratory certified. It's super delicious. It blends with water or other kinds of milks. You know, it could be a nut milk or a cow's milk or whatever you want. It's delicious, hot or cold. And it's incredibly nutritious and very clean because we do all the testing. So these are two relatively new products, well, brand new, actually, that are in stock right now, at least at the moment, and will probably be sold out of them pretty quickly, but we'll make more. It just takes time to source all these ingredients. It took us many months to get the cheddar cheese powder and the organic cream powder, the butter powder, and the whey. I mean, frankly, all the animal products are taking a very long time to get sourced right now, but we're doing the best we can. We have these available, super delicious. And this is just the first of many kind of instant meals that we're formulating right now. So macaroni and cheese is one of many that we'll have soon. We're going to have different kind of soups like a lentil soup and also an organic chili product. And they're all going to be based on the same kind of philosophy. Clean, simple, lab-tested ingredients with no artificial anything whatsoever. And also very lower sodium compared to what's typically out there. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to just eat a bunch of salt and MSG. You know, that's what a lot of storable food is, just a bunch of salt and sugar and MSG and textured vegetable protein garbage. And we're not into that, not at all. This is real food, real nutrition, real taste, and it's available right now at healthrangerstore.com. Just go there. You can search for peanut butter to find our chocolate banana peanut butter shake, or if you want the macaroni and cheese, just go to healthrangerstore.com and search for the organic wheat-free macaroni and cheese with no salt added. Or check out our hundreds of other products, such as, like, you can look at herbs right here. All these different categories, different herbs and tinctures. We have garden seeds. We have superfoods. We have personal care products. Here we have organic turmeric gold extract. We have the knives, the Dawson knives. I've co-designed these with Dawson Knives. You probably heard about these. This is under preparedness. Survival gear. We've got, well, let me just show you. We've got all the different knives right here made of the corrosion-resistant Magna Cut alloy. Mass ratio is one, very popular. That's back in stock now. Consequences, covert knife, and more. We've got other knives available, including Escape from LA. Hey, I wonder, is that sold out? Hard to keep in stock. But check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. This is how you can support us. And then we give back to you in a multitude of ways with knowledge, with empowerment, with the large language model we're going to be giving away here soon, coming up end of March, with all the interviews and all the things that we do. Plus, we just made a $100,000 donation to Convoy of Hope of non-GMO vitamin C. So when we are able to, we buy an extra large batch of raw materials, and then we use our in-house manufacturing and testing, and we will overproduce certain batches, knowing that we can use Convoy of Hope to distribute them to people in need. And it's a Christian-based ministry that distributes food and supplements. And we've worked with them several times now. And just the other day, $100,000 worth of vitamin C. So that's going out into the hands of people in need across America. Sometimes they distribute to other nations, but they focus on the United States of America. And we will continue to support people in need anywhere that we can. Remember that our slogan is Health Ranger Store, healing the world with clean food. That's our philosophy. That's what we practice. That's what we preach. That's what we do. We do the lab testing. We manufacture clean, simple ingredients that are authentic and pure and tasty. It's like nothing else that you've ever seen in the processed food industry or the processed storable food industry. And a lot of the survival food out there is just heavily processed garbage. I'm sorry to say, that's just honest truth of what it is. You want real food? Come to healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighttown.com and the Health Ranger Store. Take care.